big sound in a small town, far away from the big city lights, making music every night. Good music with all our friends. Tell everybody, tell your mama and them. We're going out and we're getting down. A big sound in a small town. A big sound in a small town. A big sound in a small town. A big sound in a small town.
Hi, and welcome to Big Sound Small Town. I'm your host, Sandy Carlton, and this is a podcast about the lives and stories of the musicians, writers, artists, and their associates that have their roots in the small towns and communities across America. If you like what you hear, tell somebody. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm James Knight. They call me Boo. Sometimes I go by Boo Knight, sometimes by Boo James. But I'm writing a lot. It's good to be here today with you.
Glad to have you here. All right, let's just start with Boo. How did that come up?
I had a little sister that was trying to say brother, and it came out Boo Boo.
Oh.
And the family started calling me Boo Boo, and my friends shortened it to Boo, and that just hang with me all the rest of my life.
I know that's the way I've known you my whole time is a Boo.
Yeah, everybody don't know me as James.
No.
Except my creditors and things like that.
Mary Beth here, when she asked me who was coming today, I told her, she said, "That's such a neat name, Boo, man." She said, "I never known anybody with that name. That is really cool."
Yeah.
It kind of is. I mean, you know.
I used to think I was the only one, but there's a few more. But Boo English, he's a musician.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I know who he is, yeah.
And I knew a girl named Boo once. But I'm the original.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Now, speaking of that, I guess music started pretty young, pretty early at your house, didn't it?
It did. My dad was in a band before I was born, but he always played guitar and sang around the house there. And I picked it up when I was young. And my older sister, Rita, we started singing when I guess I was 5 or 6 years old. We had
really?
A little duet. And Dad played guitar behind us. We'd sing in churches. And I sang at Cedar Park one time when I was little.
That's pretty cool, really.
And we sang at Grandfather's Mountain, at Singing on the Mountain.
Oh, Singing on the Mountain,
with
yeah.
Cracker Jacks up there.
Arthur Smith and his Cracker Jacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met Tommy Fail when I was about 6 years old, I guess. And then later on in life, I became good friends with him when I moved to Charlotte. But as far as being in a band, my dad tried to teach. We got a guitar for me, and it looked like a Les Paul copy or something.
Oh, okay.
And Mom, I tried to learn to play guitar, and I had a few chords down pat, and some friends at school was also playing guitar and a drummer. We decided we'd put a little band together, and we had like four guitar players, and they started talking about a bass guitar. Well, I wasn't even sure what they was talking about, bass
right.
guitar. But we drew straws, and I got the job.
Ha, 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 ha.
Well, that worked out good for you.
Yeah, I've been playing bass ever since. I taught myself everything I know.
Now
I didn't have any computers or lessons or nothing. I'm just self-taught musician.
Did at that time, did you have a bass? I mean, what did you?
Mama bought me one.
Yeah, so.
A Gibson Kalamazoo bass, Engine Red.
Well, I bet you wish you still had that.
We warped the neck on it trying to tune it the same octave as a
guitar. Oh, yeah, as a guitar, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I kept breaking strings. I couldn't figure out. So I had a cousin that played, and he kind of showed me how to tune it.
Right.
Showed me a few riffs, and then from then on, I just listened to something and find it. I'm like a parrot. I mimic stuff, I guess.
That's good.
But I created my own style. I just like to play. Well, and I've been singing all my life, so.
I guess there's a lot of singing at your house growing up, wasn't
there? Oh, yeah. We had gospel music when we get together at Christmas and stuff. My sisters, I've lost two of my sisters in the last few years.
But they all sang, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they used to be the Knipe sisters.
Yeah.
We used to do hee-haw shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, I actually
played
with them some.
Did you?
Yeah.
I thought maybe you had.
Yeah.
But after that, I just kept getting in a different little band and kind of moving up the ladder. Ronnie and I played together in the late 60s, I believe.
Really?
68, 69. We had a little band together, and we ended up being called Reborn Hope.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Reborn Hope.
Yeah, I remember.
Phil Pendleton played drums.
Phil Pendleton, yeah.
James Crosley joined the band. And, man, it's hard to remember that far back exactly how many.
That was a good band, though.
But we played, TNT was one of the best bands I'd played in locally. There was a three-piece power trio.
You remember who?
Terry Loveless, yeah. James Crosley, and myself.
Yeah, that's good. And that's.
We had quite a following. We picked up some decent jobs when we was together outside of town. My first wife and I separated in early 70s, about mid 70s. And I was taking it pretty hard. And I had an opportunity to go audition with a band in Charlotte. And so I thought it was time for me to leave town anyway. So.
Right.
That's when I went up there and got the job with the Poor Souls.
Okay, yeah.
Which was a...
I remember them.
Recording band, pretty big in Charlotte.
Yep.
Around the area. And it started out like a 12-piece show band. Four guys just up front. And they were in the process of breaking up, I think, because people started quitting.
Right.
And the time we ended up, we had a whole new band altogether. We called ourselves Fantasy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember them too.
And
what age?
We played some house band jobs in Charlotte for years.
What age did you decide you was going to do that for a living? Play music. I mean, I guess at some point.
I think I decided the first gig we had with that first little band, we played a birthday party in this guy's basement, and he paid us $10 a piece.
Oh, yeah.
That's when it hit me that you can make money doing this. So, it was just in my soul. Music was in. Dad was a musician, and it's just what I was.
Right.
That's what I felt comfortable doing. Never have been a what I call a spectacular bass player, or a singer either one. But I was good enough to keep working all these years.
Right. I mean,
I've been really lucky. Yeah.
Well, we'll bridge that too while we're at it. Playing bass and singing is not the easiest thing in the world.
No, it is.
I mean, how'd you figure that out? I mean, you taught yourself bass, but then you had to teach yourself to sing. I mean,
well, I guess I was learning both at the same time.
I mean, I guess you didn't know any different, did you?
No.
I reckon you didn't know that you wasn't supposed to be able to sing.
I know Rick DeLoger, he tried to set me down and teach me music theory and this, that, and the other, and I told him, I said, listen, I appreciate it, but I'm too old. I've learned my own way. I can't keep to an old dog new tricks.
Yeah, I understand that.
I've managed to get by.
Yeah.
And that's why I say I've been pretty lucky.
I mean, you've done it for a living your whole life, so.
I have, yeah.
So you're there in Charlotte going along playing in the club. What happens then?
Well, I ended up coming back home and got back with, met my second wife, and Terry Lovelace and Patty Lovelace got married about a few days after we did, and we just kind of hung together.
Right.
And got that band together. We called it, I think the first band we had together was Crossfire.
Okay, yeah.
Patty sang a lot of...
Joan Jett, didn't she?
She sang the... I can't even remember that. Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, yeah.
And then we got into heavier rock and roll.
Right.
And when we got the band TNT, I mean, not TNT, Straight Up.
Straight Up.
Straight Up. That was a pretty successful band.
Was Alan in that?
At one time, I think Alan Abernathy. Alan Biggerstaff.
Alan Biggerstaff was in it, yeah.
We played with him. Ace Philbeck played with
Ace,
him.
Yeah, he did.
And I went through a couple different rounds with Terry and Patty down through the years. About the whole time they was married, we was friends, and she was like a sister to me. I missed her when she was gone, but I guess she wanted to get away from that. The last few years we were together there, we were playing this After Hours Club.
Yeah. Y'all played that one down in Kings Mountain. It got blown up one time, didn't you?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when y'all played that.
Gastonia. We made a good living, but it was some wild times.
Yeah, it was wild times. Wild times. Definitely. Yeah.
Matter of fact, by the time 1980 rolled around, I was ready to settle down into something more familiar. I tried my hand at country music.
Yeah. Does that happen when
that was 1980. I started playing with Johnny Sort and the Country Travelers.
Oh yeah,
Tri-County.
Yep. Oh yeah, Bobby England. We was talking about him. He would have been a part of that.
Mm-hmm. He was in the band.
Grayson Sane played piano maybe during that time.
While I was playing with him.
Okay.
But he did play with him. A lot of people play with Johnny.
A lot of people
play
with
him. Still trucking. Johnny's a good person. I like never got the hang of playing country music.
Really?
You know, I was used to playing with a pick for one thing.
Right.
Wide open rock and roll.
Right.
And, it's like rock and roll was on top of the beat kind of.
Right, it is.
And that I couldn't find that pocket to save my life.
On that basic tick-tock.
Philip Grigg, drummer.
Yep. Yeah, Philip.
One of the best drummers I ever played.
I agree. Philip was a great drummer.
He explained to me, like playing pool, he said, you're hitting your string when that ball hits the lip. He said, you got to wait till it hit down.
Hit down, yeah.
And when he said that, something snapped in me. I found that pocket.
That's pretty cool. I never thought about it that way. I've never heard it explained that way, but that's pretty good.
I hadn't either, but he got the message across.
Yeah. He was a good drummer.
Oh, yeah. Philip was. I played with some great musicians. Johnny Fisher.
Yeah, Johnny was good.
Johnny and
yeah.
Lost all my friends I played with is gone.
Yeah, just about all of them are, you know. That's
I hate it too.
Yeah.
Anyway, I found myself in country music there when I can't remember exactly what I went to. I played with I can't remember sometimes which
what
year.
Yeah.
I know I got into beach music. I played with I did that tour at the Frontier Club.
How about?
The 80s and 90s, and I played with a good band called the Undercover Band down in out of South Carolina for a long time. They traveled a lot.
The beach music, was that hard to make the transfer over to beach music after playing rock and country?
Not really. After so many years, I played in a jazz band at the beach one time. The keyboard player I had to get with him, and he'd show me my notes and
write
me out a number chart, and because I couldn't read music.
Right.
But the country music, that Diamondback band was really good. We keep up with about anybody.
And where'd you play with them at? That was it.
That's Frontier Club.
Frontier Club. Yep.
We go out sometimes and do a gig outside. Play Tweetsie a lot up there, Tweetsie.
Tweetsie.
Yeah, I got with Billy Scott and the Prophets. That was one of the best bands I ever
been. Yeah.
There's only four musicians, and Billy Scott and Cindy Floyd would be up front, and they danced and put on a show.
Right.
But we done a lot of traveling with them. I was in about 5.5 years, I guess.
Were you singing at that time too?
Yeah, we sang in the band.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess
we matter of fact, we put an album out called Singers and Songwriters. Everybody in the band wrote and recorded a song.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and it's
So I guess singing harmony is not a problem for you, is it?
And I redone that song and put it on my Bubonic Chronic CD.
Yeah.
You remember that? Had that Bubonic Chronic.
I do. I forgot about that.
Wrote that little song about marijuana.
Yeah, I remember that.
I said, I'm going to write a little song about comparing marijuana to other stuff and just make a little fun song out of it. We ended up doing a whole CD.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. Yeah, that's a collector's item today.
Yeah, you know, I also play with The Occasions.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did a little spell with them. You remember I'm a Girl watching
that
song?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I play with them. But anyway, I pretty much stayed busy.
Did you have to dance, too, when you played with them?
Who's that?
Occasions.
The Occasions. We had our steps that we had to do.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. They teach you.
You know, I saw them in Charlotte back, I think they opened up for Blue Oyster Cult back in Charlotte.
That's a weird combination.
And I said, well, I didn't realize I'd end up playing with the band someday.
Did they teach you them steps? I mean, you had to learn them steps.
Oh, yeah, they wasn't this simple choreography.
Right. That's pretty cool, though.
But I don't like that stuff, man. I don't like that. I did that with the Poor Souls too. That
they sit down and work out harmony parts, so y'all just step up there and sing them.
Oh, you have to practice and work stuff out. But now Ronnie and them, we kind of practice at home. We want to learn something new. Everybody gets a CD, and
right,
because it's hard to get together anymore.
Yeah, these days it's really hard to get together. Which is harder, singing a harmony part or singing a lead part playing bass?
I guess it'd be harder singing lead.
It's,
excuse me. But, I haven't had a spectacular career, and I never did make it big. I've wrote songs all my life. I've got suitcases full of them, so I'm a songwriter.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit too. That's a big part of it too. When did you decide you'd start writing songs?
The first band I was in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That quick?
I said, let's do our own stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I've always had that mentality. I never have been one to keep up with groups, and I couldn't tell you who played in what group.
Right.
Like poor Rick Glosier, he'd tell you anything about anybody. I just never was that kind. I don't really have a particular favorite kind of music.
Just anything, all music, right?
I don't, just good.
Yep, I understand that.
I kind of tend to blues and
yeah, I like R&B. Blues a lot too, yeah.
What makes me the happiest is gospel.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did my spell playing gospel too. It's pretty happy music. You know?
I hadn't played in the gospel band. My sisters and we used to sing, but I love a good quartet. I like to sing bass in a quartet.
Right.
Always had a baritone voice,
right,
which made it hard for me to learn a lot of good material.
Right. Playing gospel music's, I took a job several years ago playing with a gospel band, and it turned out to be a lot of fun, and it paid better than the regular jobs I was doing.
It paid very well, the gospel field.
And I didn't have to chase people.
I probably wasted a lot of years while I should have been playing gospel.
Yeah, could have been.
That's where my heart's at, really.
Well, the harmonies.
I get excited sometimes.
Yeah. You know.
Get that Holy Spirit going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, yeah, you do. I mean, that's one of the things I remember about doing it. You can get caught up in the whole deal there.
But I've just always loved to sing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a release for me. It's kind
right.
of stress relief.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, I just don't get to do it as much as I'd like anymore.
So when you leave the beach scene, I guess you were like torn out with the occasions or something, then what happens?
That's when I started playing with the Undercover Band.
Okay.
Moved to South Carolina.
And then was that beach music?
No, it was country music.
Country music.
Country and Southern rock.
Okay, yeah.
We played around Greenville-Spartanburg area.
So you've always been a good area to work.
And I think I went from there back to the frontier.
Okay.
Because I done another tour of duty at the frontier for a good while. And then I got back in with Ronnie. I quit for a few years there trying to help Lozier and get him going the best I could. Anyway, I ended up back with Ronnie. I appreciate them giving me another chance to. Got to play somewhere.
Yeah, you do. I mean, that's good. And Ronnie plays. I mean, Ronnie has kept a band working pretty good over the years.
Oh, yeah. And he's good at it, too.
Has it been pretty much the same lineup since you've been with Ronnie?
Do what now?
Rick had been in and out playing with Ronnie, hadn't he?
Yeah, Rick had been with him about 20 years. He broke loose and decided he was going to do his own thing.
Yeah.
Gave it a good shot.
Yeah, he did.
Too bad he didn't do it years earlier.
Yeah, probably he should have done it years earlier. It's well, actually, I saw you playing with some people I know pretty good, too. I saw you playing with Nikeo and Alik Maddox.
Yeah.
I saw you playing with them, too. So that was that moved you right up into modern music. I mean, modern rock and roll a bit.
Oh, I played all kind of music. We do Crimson Rose, we do all
kinds. Yeah, I saw you doing.
We do country, and they're really good on the 50s stuff. I've tried to talk them into totally doing the 50s show
right.
and get into the beach circuit,
sure.
which we might do yet.
Well, I saw you doing, what's the one about Mama's Drinking Liquor Again? I see you doing that. Yeah, I thought I saw you singing that with them.
I like that little song. Jim Quick had that out.
Yeah, I know old Jim. Yeah, that's the best thing Jim Quick ever did, I think. But so, all right, now. What's future hold for you with music?
I have no idea. I just do what I'm doing. I hope the COVID thing eases up to where people can play again.
Yeah, I do too. You've been able to get by okay during this time?
Well, I miss that extra cash.
Yeah.
I did a little maintenance on the side, and it's kind of stopped too.
Yeah.
It's rough, but I get by.
Yeah, I mean, every musician I know is struggling.
Yeah, depending on that money, they're definitely struggling now.
Yeah, because it's not.
I pray this stuff goes away and gets back to normal.
I do too. I'm looking forward to, well, we're probably in the age group where we'll probably be able to get a vaccine pretty early, I guess. But
I don't know.
You know, I don't know either. But it's I'll be glad for things to turn to normal.
Yeah, it's going to be a while, I guess. But
yeah.
Maybe we'll come through it.
What else we need to know?
About me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm single.
See? You hear that? You heard that right here.
I got a birthday coming up this month. I'll be 71 years old.
71.
And I've been playing since I was 14.
You know, there's a lot of ways to measure success, but I'd call that pretty successful.
Well, I consider myself successful.
You know,
I never did be a star or nothing, but never did want to.
Well, you know, there's a lot of room. And I don't really think music's really about being a star. You know, I mean, a star is still a traveling second, third shift job.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of music success that has nothing to do with being a star. I think you've achieved that pretty easily.
Oh, there's a lot of musicians played all their life and opened up for big stars and stuff and never got acknowledged, you know?
Sure, there is. I mean,
like the Funk Brothers, they did all them Motown recordings.
They did. You know, and
they finally made a movie about it and acknowledged them boys.
But they could still walk down to this, you know, they could all walk down the street and nobody know who they were.
That's right.
Which is, actually, that's pretty successful. When you get to do that, walk around, nobody knows who you are. I mean, that's pretty cool, really. You know, I saw where the guy that had played the guitar riff on My Girl was living in California. And he walked into a convenience store and it was playing. And he said, I played the guitar part on that. And the girl said, no, you didn't. You know, pay for your stuff. You didn't play on that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
he probably did.
He did. I think he did. You know, and he said, you know, I did that studio work. Really, nobody knew who I was, you know.
Yeah.
He said, I made a living doing it, but I didn't get famous. So, you know. There's a lot of people that way. So
I like recording. I think that's probably what I'm going to end up doing, some more recording before I retire.
You going to put out another record?
I'm thinking about it.
That was a good record. I mean, really, really, that was a good record.
It really wasn't meant to be serious. We did that in a little building over at Dwight Osborne's house.
Oh, really?
And I just had, you know, a lot of songs I'd written, and that's why I said, let's try this, let's do this. And we had a keyboard player there with us, and so recorded Bubonic Chronic CD. Recording's not all that good on it, but.
But the songs are good, it's good, you know?
Well, I got bunches of them.
You still got some of them?
I've got suitcases full of songs.
Really?
I just never have.
I wrote
a lot of country stuff.
A lot of country stuff.
Back when I was playing, I went through a couple divorces and I sat down one day and I had a stack about a foot high of songs. And I stood at the bar and was just reading the words. I don't remember how the melodies went now. It's just songs I've written down through the years. I got through and I thought to myself, I have had such a sad, miserable life. I have been brokenhearted all my life.
Well, I will tell you one thing as a songwriter, I have learned that if you ever get happy, your song's not as good. I never heard a happy songwriter write a good song. You think when songwriters make it and things get good, then the material's not as good as it was. You know, he said, what happened to whoever it was? This new record's not that good because he got happy. You know? So, I mean.
Yeah, it's sadness bringing that emotion out in a song.
It does. I mean, 90% of the hit records were written out of misery.
So I keep telling the boys, I can't write a happy song. So.
Did you write on the bass? Is that where, or do you write on guitar? Or you just write them and then
I don't play guitar well enough to do much on.
Right.
I play enough to piddle around on and like keyboard. I play enough of it
to
sit down and put a song together.
Right. So you do most of yours on piano.
On the bass.
Yeah.
And sometimes piano.
Yeah.
When a song comes to me, though, I write it down. Don't take me 10 minutes. It's just there.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, and you kind of have to capture it then, too, because you ever have them go away if you didn't put it down right then.
Yeah, I tell you. That, when Deanna came to stay with me, that girl from
Russia. Yeah.
Yeah, we got pretty close, and I felt like I was married again there for a while. I misunderstood her whole intentions, and I fell in love with the girl.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez,
I felt so foolish after it was all over with. I had 20 years on her.
Did you get some songs out of that?
I got more than songs. Can I say that?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Are you listening, Deanna?
She probably is because she follows the show.
Sorry, babe.
That's one of my favorite moments since I've been doing this. Oh, man. You know, it's funny. You've been able to sum up a really good music career in the perfect amount of time. It's kind of funny that you can put somebody's music career and life together in like 30 to 45 minutes after you spend, you know, 50, 60 years putting it together.
Really? Like I said earlier, it's hard for me to remember exactly when what happened.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've been doing it a long time.
I'm sure I can think of some more stuff later, but.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's.
Pretty much, I've just been. There hadn't been very much downtime for me as far as playing is concerned.
That's great. I mean, I can't remember a time you weren't playing band. Actually, I was kind of surprised when I saw you playing with Ronnie. For some reason, I missed that part of. I've been able to kind of keep a tab on where you've been over the years, but not Ronnie. When I saw you playing with Ronnie, that was kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, I come back home.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't.
I lost touch with so many musicians around here when I left town and went on my journey.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's good to get back to your roots.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're back around, and like I said, I saw you playing with Turbulence, so. It's, you know, I guess you're around and available to play, aren't you? I mean, are you totally dedicated and locked in to all your time playing with Ronnie, or are you?
Oh, I have a lot of extra time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to get in touch with some musicians now, maybe try to get in the studio.
Yeah, that'd be good. That would be really good. So, I can't wait to hear what you bring out of that studio. I'm looking forward.
I got a few songs ready already, but not very many.
Yeah.
I was right in the middle of doing that when Delosier passed away.
Yeah.
It's kind of, he was helping me, so.
Now,
kind of looking somewhere else to go finish it up.
Yeah. That's always kind of hard to figure out, too, around here. You know, something that you can work with.
I've played with some really wonderful people in my life, and good people and good musicians, and probably better than I deserve to play with.
You know, that's one of the things I've learned over the years, that there's a lot of good musicians in Cleveland County.
In Cleveland County, North Carolina. Yeah,
I mean, and even when you go other places to play, I mean, there's a lot of them who, like you, you know, sometimes you've had to go other places to play. There's a lot of good musicians here, played with a lot of good people in a lot of different places.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
but traveling is pretty rough sometimes. You get to go a lot of places, but you don't get to see them because you're in a bus or a truck and you show up and set up and play and then hit the road and head somewhere else.
Yeah, you do. That's one of the things that... Yeah, you go a lot of places, but you don't see a whole lot.
You don't see it. It's out the bus window.
Exactly. People ask you, they said, you been to so-and-so? And yeah. What's there to do? I don't know. I passed through it, you know? I mean, you know, you're not there. And if you are there, either getting ready to go to work or everything's closed up because you just got through working, so you don't get to see much of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you asking me here today.
Well, I appreciate you coming, and I wish you nothing but success going forward.
Well, we'll see what's ahead of us.
Thank you, Boo.
All right, thank you. The house.
so smart. You